Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, since December, health authorities in China have been grappling with an outbreak of viral pneumonia that sickened hundreds of people and killed 17. The disease, thought to be caused by a previously unknown type of coronavirus that may have first spread to humans from animals in the central Chinese city of Wuhan, has now seen further cases confirmed in Thailand, Japan, South Korea and the US, while suspected cases have also occurred in a number of other countries and territories. What might the implications for China and other ASEAN states be, especially in anticipation of an influx of Chinese visitors during the coming Lunar New Year holiday? To discuss this further, we have Zi Yang, senior analyst with the China program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies at the Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. Zi Yang, it was almost two decades ago, after the severe acute respiratory syndrome outbreak, the Chinese government is again confronting this mysterious illness caused by an agent similar to the SARS coronavirus. Has China changed, though, for the better since the previous epidemic when it comes to handling diseases? How far has its public health system improved, do you think?
Overall, I would say China's public health system has improved. We can see the quick response this time to the outbreak, indicating a better disease reporting and monitoring system. Also, there has been a quick generation of the new viruses genetic sequence. That's another big plus. But there's definitely more research that needs to be done on the new coronavirus. And in the past decade, we have seen China handling the outbreak of bird flu, H5N1, and the swine flu, all handled pretty well. So that's all a plus for China's public health system. But transparency remains an issue that could hamper the system's fast response.
Because they're known to tighten their grip on the internet, the Chinese government, that is, media and civil society, to sort of control the flow of information across the country. How can they maybe handle the dissemination of information better?
I believe they should not take a blanket approach to information control. You know, there's fake news intended to cause panic. But there's also grassroots citizen journalism. If you crack down on the first one, that's correct. But if you crack down the latter, that will only decrease public confidence in the government.
But their approach is seen to be a little different this time to their response to SARS. But transparency, like you mentioned, remains a major issue that could undermine international containment effort. So how else does the monopoly of information impact China's credibility?
Well, the official media has a tendency to always toe the official line. And I would say the credibility of the government has already been hurt by the underreporting of those infected. But I would say, you know, there are independent Chinese media agencies with people on the ground, on the front line, doing good work, trying to get the information out as truthful as possible. You know, the Taixin and Pengpai, these are really agencies that deserve props.
In recent days, though, the Chinese government's finally released more information regarding the disease, perhaps responding to pressure from MRC Center's report and domestic critics who fear a similar SARS situation. How effective, though, is Beijing's crisis aversion response so far? And can it change sentiment, rather?
Well, I would say the underreporting of infected persons definitely gives us an unclear picture of the outbreak and harms the overall containment effort. And in some ways, China's really making what they're supposed to be allies more and more concerned. For example, the World Health Organization that quoted Chinese information on no sustained evidence of a human-to-human transmission at first have to do a 180 later on, you know, when the Chinese government changed their narrative completely and said that and confirmed that, you know, human-to-human transmission is very much possible. So overall, this approach to avert crisis is, I would say, harming the international effort.
We're speaking with Zi Yang, senior analyst with the China program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies at NTU. Now, ASEAN nations have started taking a cue from the past, upping the monitoring of travellers coming from Wuhan. What should ASEAN states do, though, to protect their people, given that the transnational flow of Chinese visitors might soon increase dramatically?
Sure. I believe there are three things we can do. Of course, like you said, you know, upping the security at the transportation hubs and border checkpoint is very important. And number two is we need to communicate clearly to the Chinese government that we need a timely update on the outbreak and truthful information, you know, on the outbreak. And finally, I say that we should activate existing cooperation mechanisms with China, but also with NGOs and IGOs. We can mobilize as much resource and expertise as possible to contain the outbreak together.
So consumer spending, though, should be going up at this time, right? Before the Lunar New Year, there's entertainment, tourism and such. It starts tomorrow. How will it, though, affect all of that spending, the fear of this particular virus now?
I believe all of these things mentioned will be affected, and people will go out less, they'll shop less, and they'll save more. And public events in Wuhan has already been canceled, and in other cities will soon follow suit as well. But this might encourage Chinese to go abroad more, so that'll create additional issues for foreign countries.
Might this also develop into a major potential economic risk to the Asia-Pacific region?
Yes, very much so. Because if we look at the numbers with SARS about 18 years ago, the global economic impact was between 30 billion to 100 billion USD. And as the number will climb, certainly in the coming weeks, I believe the Asia-Pacific's economy will be affected. We have already seen stock market reacting negatively today to the news coming out of China, coming out of Wuhan. Especially the tourism sector, transportation, hospitality and services will all be affected.
Might the same thing that happened to China with the SARS epidemic happen to Wuhan this time round? I mean, some numbers, SARS killed 300 people in China, affected over 5,000 people, led to China's economic growth in the second quarter of 2003 to slow briefly.
Yes, yes. So currently, China's economy is the slowest in 29 years. And even though the recent trade deal gave the market a boost, I believe there will be a costly outbreak this time. Because if you look at some of the predictions, it's one of China's top virologists just said that today the outbreak this time will be worse than SARS. So we should expect greater damage to the Chinese economy.
So analysts' suggestions that this could be the first black swan event for 2020 for China is quite warranted?
Yes, yes, very much. I believe this is totally unexpected for the government. But the central government has already given order to prioritize the handling of the outbreak. I believe that's why we see a drastic escalation in terms of the local government in Wuhan in shutting down the public transport out and going into the city.
At the risk of sounding opportunistic, though, Ziyang, who stands to benefit most from this, even as the gloom continues to spread?
Yes, I believe there are people benefiting from this, the health-focused sectors, the pharmaceutical industry, and perhaps health insurance companies. And, you know, in Wuhan, you're seeing some opportunistic merchants that are raising prices on common household goods amid the crisis. But if you compare this to the damage to other sectors of the economy, it's really small fries.
Ziyang, senior analyst with the China program at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, NTU. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.